What is up, Teach Better family? Good morning, good morning. I am Jeff. That's my good friend, Chad Ostrowski. And this is your Teach Better Today morning show. We're going to chat about some stuff. Chad and we have literally never been just you and me on a morning show. So we're kind of hijacking things here, but that's okay. We're excited to be here. We're going to catch up a little bit. When Chad and I are together, there's always a chance of some reminiscence. So we'll see what's going on. Then we're going to talk about some cool stuff coming up and going on, and I don't know, whatever else. Drop in a comment, say hello, and let us know what you're doing while you're listening. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Teach Better Today. So we have something that I want to talk about specifically during the team talk thing. And I joked before we got on. I'm like, yeah, it's you and me, so we'll probably reminisce about something. But then I'm watching the video, Chad. I don't know if you were like watching it, and a bunch of the clips that are playing in some of those are like a couple of them are like older, like a couple years ago, and even like a year or two ago. Like some people look like babies. And like, I'm like, oh, I remember that. That was from a live stream, or I remember that, or I remember when so-and-so had their hair like that. And so now I'm going to make us reminisce on sort of intentionally reminiscing here. And that's the fact of like, we're next month in March, we'll celebrate 9 years of the business of the team. And that's kind of crazy, dude.
Yeah, man. Almost a decade of our lives put into this.
How... Can I ask the question that is on everyone's mind?
Sure. Or yours?
My inbox is overflowing with this every day, it seems like. At least a dozen a day I get this. And I know it's on everyone's mind. And that is, so it's 9+ years ago. Because technically, so the 9-year celebration is coming up next month. Technically was when we like officially like, made the business, right? So the state was where we were doing stuff a little bit prior, probably almost six months, but a little ways before that, right?
Right.
So the question that, like, I mean, everyone was like, BuzzFeed put out a poll about this, TMZ's been talking about it stuff, and like everyone's wondering, like, what were you thinking?
Like, I sometimes still don't know.
And what are you thinking? Why 9 years with this guy? Like, I don't know, buddy. Seems a little shady.
So what am I thinking? Or what was I thinking is, I think, the actual context.
And what is still wrong with you? Yeah,
I mean, like, there's two parts to this conversation. Like, what are you thinking when you take an idea and you try to share it with other people, which was what I was originally thinking in the first place was, yeah, I have this thing that's working really well. It's helping a lot of kids. I want to share it with other people. And then there's the other part of the equation, which is, what was I thinking leaving a secure position as a teacher with solid, you know, medical coverage and a long-term insurance and retirement plan and everything else to start a business, that had no guarantee of being successful. So I think the first thing's pretty easy. Like, what was I thinking? I wanted to share a really good idea to help improve the lives of students across the country and in other teachers' classrooms. The second one was just whether it was ignorance, or now I can look back and go and say it wasn't, but the idea that idea was good enough to grow, scale, expand, and bring enough in to become a living, become something that I could dedicate and we could dedicate our lives to, I guess, would be the answer to that question.
And that idea, of course, that you're talking about is now what we call the Grid Method. Back then, it wasn't quite a name necessarily. In fact, early on, I purchased the domain name, the Ostrowski Method. That was a thing in my head just in case. But that thing is the Grid Method, which, so kind of full circle, and it's bringing around, like, one of the things I want to sort of celebrate is that last week we officially kicked off the start of our first ever Grid Method certification cohort.
Very cool.
So this is a cohort. Yeah. I think we have 20-something, 20, 21, 22 educators from all around the country and actually around the world going through a very intense process over the next, I don't even know how many weeks. It's like 2 months, basically, led by Katie and Ray. And they are going to be officially at the end of it, after going through all the process and doing what they got to do, they'll be certified as Grid Method teachers, which is something we talked about early on as like a cool. But we finally like are to the point where we were able to, where it made sense. We've obviously got the track record to prove that it's worth that process for people, and worth it. But like, this is some silly little idea you had in your head that you started working in your classroom, and now we literally have educators from all over the country and from other countries being certified in it. Like, that's kind of fuel something sort of something.
Well, so I think one of the first validations we had that what we were doing with teachers was effective was not necessarily the success they were having with their students. And that was definitely part of it, right? Like, teachers be like, my kids are learning so much. Like my dad is better. Like, all that stuff was happening, and it was really good feedback of, but like, in my head, I always knew that. I was never worried if it was a good idea or if it would work or if mastery learning was effective. Like, I had read the research, I had had the experience. Like, that was actually never something that worried me. I don't know if that was just the ego or overconfidence, but like, I was never worried if the Grid Method or mastery of any of these things were going to work. And I think one of the biggest validations that we found really early on is we got really passionate people about the teaching we were showing them how to do. So like, we had teachers that would literally, like, we've had teachers tell us the Grid Method have saved their marriage and their lives. We have teachers saying that they would never go back if someone paid them more money to teach the old way. I've had teachers tell me, like, I tell everybody that I meet about what I do in my classroom because I'm so excited about it. And that to me transcends like the Grid Method or the thing. Like, you're helping people improve their lives, not only their classrooms and their students' lives, but their actual lives. And I think we both had that conversation early on when we noticed like this wasn't just like a new vocabulary program or reading software that they were using. Yeah. This was something that was inherently transforming the way that they looked at the profession they're dedicating their lives to, and something that they were proud of, like waving those flags and things like that. So I think the idea that we finally have this core group of amazing teachers that wants to certify themselves in the Grid Method itself, I think it kind of is a great kind of capstone to all of that from the beginning, because we've always had teachers that like fully dive in head first and never look back. And they just become, we've built the Teach Better team on those amazing educators from the very first start. And I think the fact that we can now honor that in some way with these certifications, I think that's really meaningful. But I also think it's appropriate. I think we have the capacity to do it the right way at this point. But I also think we've grown our brand and the trust that teachers have in the Teach Better name to make it a worthy moment to take this step, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. So I agree, and it's awesome. It's really cool to see. It's going to be really fun to watch over the next couple of months, and obviously we'll be sharing things out with the team. If you don't even know what we're talking about when it comes to the Grid Method, that's perfectly fine. If you go to teachbetter.com/thegridmethod or just on the homepage, you'll be able to find it there as well. And if you're getting excited or interested in it, maybe you weren't aware of the fact that we had this initial cohort, and this was even a thing. Once we get through the initial cohort and we work out all the kinks and hopefully figure out how to do it the right way and the best way possible, we'll be opening up more cohorts, but we don't know when that is just yet. So, all right, that was awesome. I love the reflection. And I didn't even mean for us to really go into all that about the Grid Method, but I think that was good. So I want to jump into team talk. I have something else that I want to chat with you about, Chad, since I got you. So we'll be right back with some team talk. Welcome back to your Teach Better Today morning show, streaming live every day, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm Jeff Gargis. I've got Chad Ostrowski here. Good conversation so far. I'm going to kind of shift us a little bit here. I want to talk about, you know, Team Talk is where we try to provide some value to folks, which I think the early part, there's some value to you. But I want to talk, as Chad, you know, I'm super fortunate. I think I get to sort of lead our project in the world of like the edupreneur, edu-creator space. We have our EduCreator Club community over there, EduPreneur Mastermind, our MBA program, things of that nature. And then, you know, everyone from podcasters to bloggers, whatever. But we have a lot of people in there that do speaking or are trying to speak more, are trying to get out. And a lot of them are trying to build to where they can be keynoting and doing keynote talks. And that's one of the things. And so I want to chat with you a little bit about that to see if we can give them some ideas of how to think through that and kind of excitement. We'll share a little excitement in the fact that, like, you've keynoted before. That's nothing new. But later this year, this summer, early summer, you're keynoting a conference that I'm also speaking at. So I get to like go with you. And it's been a while since I've been at a conference with you keynoting. And so if you're, you know, just so you are aware, I'll be the guy like second, third row heckling. That'll be me. So look for that. But and I also like, I want to mention that because this is one that you, it's a newer keynote that you've been working on.
True.
That's around AI and stuff. So like you've been going through the process of like creating it and making sure the message is where you want to be. So can you talk just a little bit on your mindset when someone says, Chad, come keynote at our school year kickoff or our end of year wrap up or at our conference or whatever? How do you approach that to ensure that you are bringing as much value to that 45, 60, 90 minutes, whatever window you have, so that when you leave, you know you've left an impact on those educators that were in the room?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I always do is ask questions. Like, what are your objectives? What are your goals for what you want your audience to leave with? Keynotes are weird for me. And if I'm being completely honest, I literally wrote a blog that said, you suck at lecturing to every teacher who's ever read it, because direct instruction is my least favorite form of teaching anyone anything. Lecturing is my least favorite form, even though I love hearing myself talk, which is obvious if anyone's ever heard me talk. But like, I'm fully aware on the research that says if you're not captivating and engaging an audience after 15 minutes, they're not listening. And retention is going to go way down and your objectives are going to fall by the wayside. So I need to know, what are the objectives? What do you want the audience to walk away with, so that I can work backwards to make sure I'm meeting those objectives? Like, the other thing is, I've also need to think about, how are you going to connect with the audience's emotional state? If you don't connect with them emotionally and get them to trust you in the first, I'm not even joking, 30 seconds to a minute, you're done. Like, as far as I'm concerned, if you haven't grabbed their attention and gotten them to at least trust where you're coming from or engage with what you're saying, you've lost. Because the thing about keynotes is that, like, they don't need to know you're an expert at anything. They don't need to hear your resume. They need to know what you're about to say is going to solve one of their problems or their issues or connect with what they're struggling with. So whenever I first start developing a keynote, I always think about, what's that initial thing that's going to help connect, whether it's talking about myself as a father or my worst day as a teacher or something that I know everyone can universally connect with. And so that's my first thing, getting them to trust you on an emotional level so that they can think with you on a philosophical and a logistical one, right? So like, that's like the first step. After I have the objectives, then I kind of try to set those objectives up as kind of targets throughout the keynote and try to knock them down while weaving in stories, examples, and takeaways. One of my least favorite things about keynotes is it's really hard for me to move the needle for 300 to 500 staff members. Because that's what we do in our workshops, in our two-day trainings, in our work sessions, in our coaching sessions, in our classroom visits. And I know the work that takes. So to say, here's a microphone, you have 45 minutes to move the needle for 500 people. First of all, that's a Herculean task. I'm not saying it can't be done, but it's one you have to very strategically take on. And one of the things I often ask administrators when they want to bring myself or any of the team in for a keynote, I go, listen, there are a lot of amazing keynotes. We've had amazing keynotes at Teach Better Conference. We've hired amazing keynotes. We've seen amazing keynotes. We've given amazing keynotes. But like, one thing I always ask is, listen, if you want me to make your staff feel good and give them a few ideas, I can do that in my sleep. If you want to create a movement, it's going to be a heavier lift. So do you want to create an idea and or just make people feel fluffy? Or do you want to create a movement and start a fire that can keep going after I leave? Because I need to know where you want to end up so I can leave you in a place to get there. Versus, here's some cool stuff that I said 500 times before and good luck, right? So I'm always thinking of in terms of connecting with the audience, getting them to trust me, and hitting those objectives and outcomes that the school, the district, the client, or the conference really wants to hit. But it also comes down to actionable items. Ray Hewitt has an amazing saying, fluff ain't enough. And a lot of times keynotes are a lot of fluff and very little substance. So we always try to bring it back to what are tangible takeaways. And those takeaways could be big questions you need to ask yourself, right? Big takeaways could be a thought-provoking scenario that makes them rethink the way they approach an idea or a tactic. So I'm always looking for those ways to give them tactical and strategic takeaways so that they don't leave and go, I feel pretty good for the next 30 minutes, but I'm going to forget all about this when school starts tomorrow. Right. So those are, I don't know if that was concise at all.
No, like, so I'm hitting. So like ask questions. So you know the objectives, right? Weave those in, work on your connection right off the bat. How are you going to get them? You said like 30 to 60 seconds, right off the bat and emotionally. And then you weaving in those, whatever those objectives are, weaving those in throughout what you're saying and what you're doing and how you're engaging with them throughout the entire process. And then I think rounding out the focus of like, it's all right to be fluffy and get them excited and stuff like that, but you should really be trying to see how do you have those tangible takeaways that are actually going to have a lasting impact on them as you're leaving them with whatever it is, to your point, whether that's a question or an exercise or whatever, something that they're going to think about and remember tomorrow or next week. And that's going to have an impact in some way or another.
And I also think the last piece is, this is more of a me thing than like a everyone thing, but I always try to add humor in some way, shape or form, right? I will always be okay laughing at myself. Like, in terms of executing a keynote, I've been on stage and like things go wrong. I get really bad feedback or the sound turns off. Like if you're not able to weather those little storms and be flexible in the moment as you're delivering the keynote, people are going to be like, you have to realize a teacher looking at you, knowing that you were paid a decent bit of change to speak for 45 minutes when they're getting paid X amount to teach for 45 minutes every single day to 300 kids. Like, There's a hill you have to climb, whether we all admit this or not. Like, I'm just going to be honest here. So if I have a little bit of a tech issue and I stop everything and go, hey, everyone, like, hold on, my thing's broke. Who's going to do it? No. I'm going to fix that in the moment, in real time. I'm going to overcome it in some way, shape, or form. And then I'm going to laugh at myself so we can all get back on track. Like, but I've been to keynotes where something goes wrong and it kind of throws the whole speaker off and it really takes away because you're out of that element and then you have to regain the entire audience again. So like be over prepared, be prepared for things to go wrong, be flexible and be okay managing your event too. I've had to tell districts to play entrance music when staff's walking in or to do kind of like housekeeping to make sure everyone's ready for the message they're about to receive. Like being okay as the speaker, consulting about the experience you're trying to provide, I think is also key, but like being respectful about it at the same time, of course, honoring the fact that it's their event. But there have been times where I go, hey, what are we thinking before my, and what's happening after my speech? After my keynote, so I can prepare the audience for that.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to pretend like I'm not part of this bigger picture. It's not about me. It's about the event. It's about the experience. It's about the work after I leave the room. So I need to be respectful of that during my time, just as much as they need to be, just as much as they want to honor the message that they want to receive.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Okay. I think we checked the box of some takeaways here. That's what I was looking for. I love it. Details on where Chad and I will be hanging out this summer will come out soon. We can't release it just yet. And there may or may not be another Teach Better team member going with us. So it's going to be a party in this undisclosed location at an undisclosed time. I'm trying to be that mysterious. Just
sounds cryptic. I don't know if it sounds, worked, though. It just sounds weird.
We're excited about it. It'll be fun. Anyway, what else we got here? I think that's it. I think we'll wrap up teachbetter.com for everything you need. Appreciate you. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Same time, same place. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Chad, my friend. Good seeing you, my friend. And we will see you all later. Let us know if you need anything. See ya.
Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.